At Arizona State University, we offer a variety of programs online designed and taught by a renowned faculty to empower your success. That's why 87% of ASU online graduates stated they were promoted or received an increase in salary after earning their degree. Visit asuonline.asu.edu.
A listener production.
They're cleaning spills and splitting bills. It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Matt, are you educated sexually?
Do you know, I actually had those two books, Where Did I Come From and
me
What's Happening
too.
To Me.
Well, actually, yep. I didn't have the book, but I remember Dad putting on the video of Where Did I Come From. And it was, you know, it covered everything, but I'm not sure it was extremely accurate where a little rubber ducky was in the bath looking up at the naked people.
Yep.
And then when they did the deed, they likened it to getting very tired, jumping a skipping rope over and over and over again. Which, I'm not sure how you do it. I mean, we talked about the sex swing yesterday. Maybe that's what they were on about, but
I don't do it. Rope. There are no ropes. No ropes near me.
I only ask because we do have a qualified sexologist coming on the show today. Her name is Chantelle Otten. She's written an incredible book, The Sex Ed You Never Had, and we're going to be chatting to her to, you know, figure out why it's so needed.
Thank God, I've been waiting 35 years for a proper goddamn explanation about some of this stuff.
I mean, because I've been to your house and you refuse to use your microwave, you know, your dishwasher, your internet without reading the manual. You know, you will, before you plug it in and start, you know, playing around, you've got to make sure you know what you're doing here.
It's a really important conversation to be having with someone who knows very much what they're talking about. So it's really exciting to have Chantelle on the show talking all about the new book. Hey, but also, Alex Dyson, there's been a few vacancies made at some of the more prominent, loud media organizations that our next podcast friend might be able to fill the boots on.
A couple of issues of concern being covered today, one of which by our good friend Rant Dog, who's going to be joining us in a moment. It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. Thanks for your company.
This is just the start.
Everyone ready?
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go, here we go, here we go.
Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Well, it is that time of the week where we talk to All Day Breakfast's resident shock jock, Rant Dog.
Is Rant Dog going to put an extra ferocious performance in today, knowing full well that one Alan Jones left the Sky News team
left
last week?
Well, did he jump or was he pushed, Matt? We shan't know whether Alan left of his own accord.
Or was he just scared?
I don't think it's a coincidence that Rant Dog starts entering the scene and young Alan starts running scared for those hills. That's all I'm saying. But there is a vacancy in a little certain news organisation, which he could be auditioning for today because we do like to get the issue of, you know, everyday Australians, and that is you. So please send us a voice memo with something that is irking you at the moment, and Rant Dog will try to solve it via decibels. This week, we have a message from Ash.
Hey guys, got one for Rant Dog. Is there anything worse than when you're stuck in traffic because there's an accident on the freeway and you finally get past at a crawl, that scene of the accident? It turns out you were at a crawl because all of the rubbernecking reprobates are all slowing down to look at an accident on the other side of the road. Like to hear your thoughts.
Oh no.
Oh, goodness me, Ash. Goodness me. We talked about big rubber the other day. Matt O'Kine, when it comes to why tyres can still get deflated in this day and age, which we all know was due to big rubber and their stranglehold on the industry. What we didn't touch on was big rubber neck, which is an industry of billions of people who seem to treat accidents, police stops, like they're the bloody Meyer Christmas windows. Going past for a little look-see in a people's time of need. I mean, every new car in this country, I feel, sure, forget your alloy wheels, all right? Forget your spoiler. Should be sold with a neck brace, okay? So we can keep our faces forward.
The horse racing industry, they've solved it with the horses. Pop the blinkers on, all right? We got to stop people being distracted. We've bloody legislated seatbelts. Why can't we get the blinkers, all right? And I think this is the first step, okay? You've seen Clockwork Orange, right? I think need the head absolutely stationary, all right? And I think we need the wire keeping the eyes open to the front. We need people to concentrate on the road. And just by the way, why do we have billboards? Looked up at a billboard the other day, driving along, designed to be looked at in traffic. You know what it was for?
What was it for?
Transport Accident Commission.
Telling you to pay attention to the road.
Hang on a second. You want me to take my eyes off the road so that I don't have an accident? Are you absolutely out of your goddamn minds? Are you out of your minds?
I think that's all there is to say about that, Matt. But look, if you've got an issue you would like Rant Dog to solve, then please send a voice memo to mats.ann.alex. And who knows, maybe maybe old Sky News will be getting themselves a new star anchor. Who knows?
Fingers crossed. Matt and Alex.
Everybody wants to be a pickle jar hero.
Well, Alex Dyson, it's something that we all think about a lot and do sometimes.
Not as much.
And talk about not as much as we should. It is the world of all things sex, bodies and relationship. And it's most recently been summed up in an incredible book by award-winning psychosexologist Chantelle Otten. Her book is called The Sex Ed You Never Had, and it was out on the 28th of September. Please welcome Chantelle. Hello.
Ooh, thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us, Chantelle, because Matt's absolutely correct. Growing up in Australia, the best sex ed you had was Big Brother Up Late. So I'm very glad that The Sex Ed You Never Had is here. What about for yourself growing up? Can you remember your first sex ed experience?
Oh, I mean, my parents always spoke about sex, so it wasn't really, like, I wasn't allowed to watch TV when I was growing up, so I don't even know what happened in the OC. I had to go to bed at 9 p.m. when I was in high school, so I don't know. And I guess, like, I don't know, I think I just learned through pornography, to be honest.
Whoa,
so that made me, like, really performative in my early years, and that's probably how most people kind of learnt that I know.
Well, we've had some discussions, I think even on this show, about the sort of harmful nature of some pornography as well, especially in formative years like that. Do you look back on those early years and feel like you were influenced to be someone that you weren't?
I guess so. I mean, the funniest thing is I was so curious about it. Like, I don't think I took it very like literally. I don't think that I was like, I need to be like that, because it just seemed so far out of reach. And like, keeping in mind, I was a teenager. It's not like I could like see myself in these people. But I guess like it probably did make me a little bit more sexually charged. And I definitely think it influenced the way that I don't know, like the way that I looked at sex, and I guess the role as a woman in sex, and the difference between like a penis owner and a vulva owner, and I don't know, like the way that your body's meant to look. So I guess so, but I also think I was just researching so much at that time. I was already really interested, and I remember my parents saying to me, they like found my search for pornography.
Oh no.
Uh-oh. And it was so bad, because I didn't really understand what I was looking at, but I would just put in like, I'm not even going to say the words, like really horrendous, like tag words, like that you have to look up.
Oh, and it wasn't just like nice boobies or something.
Absolutely not. No, it was really kinky, patchy.
Oh, whoa.
And it was like crazy, but they knew it wasn't my dad.
Yeah, learning about sex through pornography is like getting ready to take your driver's test by watching The Fast and the Furious.
Amen.
When did it switch then? When did you start realizing that's not what sex is necessarily for everybody? It can be sometimes harmful because it is, you know, performative. When did that switch happen, and what was the, you know, the catalyst for that?
I guess probably just talking to my friends about their sexual experiences, experiencing my own. Like, I was probably like mid-teen years anyways when I started practicing. And I guess I just realized, like, it's a lot different. You know, it's messy, it's sweaty, there's different fluids, you make weird noises, you're with another person, you've got two humans here with, you know, completely different backgrounds and emotions, and you've just got to find your own way on how to do it. But I remember being like really confused when I had my first orgasm. I was like, what was that? Like, that was really great. Like, I want that again.
I was so scared. I was like really nervous.
Mm.
Yeah.
Really?
I was like, oh, what is that feeling? You know, like, it's like a weird thing. You don't
know. How did it happen?
And so then you're becoming a, you know, a psychosexologist talking to people about this. You've put a lot of the things you've learned over the years into the sex ed you've never had. What do you think is some of the most crucial information or the biggest misconceptions when it comes to sex?
I think they're really basic. Like, I think you know, the foundation of what is sex is probably like the most, I think that's the question that most people that I talk to actually struggle with when I ask them, what does sex mean to you? Like, tell me some words, some associations, some images that come to mind. They'll be like, you know, like, it's, you know, penis and vagina, and then, you know, you both come. And I was like, well, that doesn't actually work for, you know, a lot of people in the LGBTQIA plus community. There's a lot of people not having penis and vagina sex, and those with erectile dysfunction or vaginismus, or those with certain abilities. Like, you know, we have to expand our view of what sex is, and we have to make it individualized to ourselves. We don't have to look from a Disney narrative of what happens in movies or pornography or like stories that are so typical. We have to just expand and make it our own.
That's really interesting. Yeah, like how it's portrayed, because I'm sure there'd be, you know, not just in pornography, but in, you know, feature films and cinema that kind of thing over the years, it would be sort of getting a little bit better. Is there anything that you think is an incredibly good or comically bad sex scene in a piece of media?
Oh, God. You know what? Like, I think like when the TV's on, I'm just like on my phone and just like doing other things. My attention span's not that great. But I was talking about this topic with Clementine Ford the other day, and she said she was watching You, which is about the guy who's like a stalker, serial killer kind of guy, and he's dating you know, someone who's also kind of similar to him, and they're having sex, and she gets on top, and then she starts touching herself, so stimulating herself during penetrative sex. And I was like, that's a really good example of real life sex. You know, you need to touch yourself, like to heal yourself, to love yourself, to climax as well. And I think if we can have more examples like that, where we do say, hey, it's like completely normal to have a clitoral orgasm and not to come through penetration for vulva owners. And that's really great. But, you know, of course, I would love to see a lot more. I would love to see more, you know, gay sex. I'd love to see more queer. I would love to see more interabled relationships or disabled sex. You know, I think that that's all like missing. So I'm curious to see how the next few years goes in this space.
Absolutely. And the reason books like The Sex Ed You Never Had are necessary is because there is still that taboo nature when talking about sex. Have you found, when you've been in conversations potentially with older generations or people who are on the more conservative side sexually, that you find yourself in some awkward situations, you know, Christmas, dinner parties? How do people react when you mention, you know, your background in psychosexology?
I think, you know, there's a lot of people who are really open, but, you know, I definitely know, like, even my dad's like, you know, he's not that open. Like, I think he loves that I'm having a great time and that I found success and passion in my work. So, yeah, but I, you know what? Like, there are a lot of people that I'm surrounded by that are really open. And, you know, my partner's family, I can talk to them about anything to do with my work and they're really open. So for anyone who's not open, that's okay. That's their prerogative. I'm not here to force, you know, sex positivity on anyone. I just, or a conversation on anyone. I just, you know, ask for like a non-judgment kind of approach to me as a specialist and recognize that it is, you know, helping a lot of people.
Well, Chantel, thank you so much for joining us. Your book, The Sex Ed You Never Had, is out now. And is there an age range for this sort of book?
I would think like you can start learning from your early teenage years from this book because you learn a lot about your body.
Well, if you've got a teenager that you want to kind of be supportive of and their exploration of, then please give them a copy of this book, especially heading into Christmas.
Woo! And become a story later in life where you you open up the Christmas present and your parents are looking at you like,
There you go.
Looking forward to that. Chantelle Odden, thank you so much for joining us on All Day Breakfast and we'll catch you soon.
Thank you.
Oops. Well, Matt, I'm locked in a bit of a battle at the moment. A tete-a-tete, mano a mano. Which is actually, it's probably quite a healthy one, but it's getting more serious than I anticipated because I gave my father, Ian, my old phone, right?
Okay. Hope you deleted all of those nudes.
No, never taken a nude. Proud of it. I'm not never nude. I wear the cutoffs and or whatever. Anyway, so he's got on there and he's got no apps. He's got nothing. He doesn't have internet. He's got 10 gigabytes a year on his plan. So he doesn't use any internet data. So he doesn't really use it that much. But I made the mistake of showing him the app. This is an iPhone. I mean, hashtag not sponsored. But they've got a little health section. One of which is a pedometer, which tells you how many steps you use.
Oh no! Are you in a step off with Ian?
I'm in a step off. Like the movie Step Up 2 is probably about that because not only does he count his steps, he counts the flights of steps that you go up. And I get regular updates as to how he's gone compared to where I am.
I feel like he'd absolutely rinse you.
He does.
I feel like he's walking all day, every day.
He does. It's about 16K a day, but in the morning.
Not to mention how much he's chasing those horses off the beach.
Exactly.
Every morning.
A gallop counts as an extra one when he's running next to the horses to get rid of them.
The Brumbies.
Like you wake up in the morning, he's like, I've already done 3,000 steps today. What about yourself?
What?
Little did he know, old Daiso back from the pub after midnight, walking home, 3,500. Cop that, Daddy Dyson. He was very, very upset with that one.
Oh, Dyson, you're doing it for all of us, mate. You're the true champion.
Exactly. Walking back from the street.
Just a modern-day Jane Saval. Just charging home.
We had my sister around for dinner the other night with her partner, and he goes, oh, we better check.
Jane Saville, by the way, Jane Saville.
Yeah, Australian walker, disqualified, walking to the stadium. Heartbreaking. Sydney 2000. He goes, all right, I better check the scores now so I don't embarrass you in front of other people. Pulls out his pedometer. He's like, what have you done? I'm like, oh, six. He's like, ooh, no, 18,000 for me. I'm like,
what?
Oh, my God.
Where's he walking?
He walks
everywhere. How many times did he go to the library?
He goes twice a day. Then he goes for just a walk. And then he'll go down to the shops. So the man racks them up. So I'm in this constant battle with dad when it comes to that. So I was wondering, you know, we put the call out, what sort of silly little competitions are you in? A few people got in touch. I like this one from Christopher who messaged us. The first to say, I see the sea, driving to a coastal location equals all that smugness. So, oh, that would be good.
You can imagine the arguments as well. No, that's just sky. That's not the sea.
Yeah, you didn't see the sea. I saw the sea first. So thank you for that, Christopher. We also got Harry from Melbourne. G'day, Harry.
Hey, boys. How are we?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Harry. Now, you've got a little competition.
So each year at Christmas time, I head back to Wagga Wagga and, you know, how you have the bonbons for lunchtime and there's all those little toys and stuff in there and there's always a measuring tape in one of them.
Yep.
So every year we measure each other's heads every year.
Do they change?
You know what? They actually change each year. And like,
really?
So obviously we have like my mum, my dad, my brother and my cousin. So like, you know, they're just like the stock ten every year. But sometimes we have a few ringings, like the long lost cousins that come. And like, there's probably three people that are always in the top three.
Yeah.
That you know, it's always neck and neck each year. So, like, I'm not one of them. It's my brother, my dad, and my uncle that only comes every second year.
Wait, so who wins? Is there a winner in this competition?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or is science and data the winner?
No, so whoever has the biggest head, and that's like circumference from forehead around to the back. So when my uncle comes down every second year, we're like, oh, dude, he's got it this year. He's got it this year.
Yeah, you know, it's most families just have like the measurement on the wall.
Yeah, true,
for how tall you've gotten. But I love that you guys are just flipping the switch.
Nah, yeah, it's the heads. It's the heads.
How big is your head? I want to know how big a champion head is.
Oh, well, my old man's head's like, I think it's like 68, whether that's in inches or centimetres. I don't know if these are metric numbers. I'm pretty sure it's centimetres. Mm-hmm. Mine's around 65, but my old man's will go anywhere from 68. It's been to 72. He won with the 72 one year.
Well, is this just like a measuring error, or do heads grow?
Yeah, okay. Well, I think we've just learned here. Never build a house with a bonbon measuring tape, okay? Don't never. Do it.
No, never.
It's going to be the most lopsided building ever. Wow, okay.
I think we can have a quick spontaneous one. Producer Bron and I in the same studio. I am wearing a hat. Bron, put on this hat and see if it's too big for you. Oh. Here you go. Passing it over. So he gets the biggest head in the studio.
Is it snug on your head? Oh, it looks very big on Bron's head.
Bron, that's... I think I've got a bigger head there.
Alex, you'll have to come to our Christmas and we'll have to measure your head.
Mate, I am there.
You've just passed qualifying, Daiso, for the Aussie champs in Wagga.
That's
love it.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that one, Chris. We'll catch you later.
Thanks, boys.
I love wine and everything about it.
What, are you into wine? I love wine.
All right, Alex Tyson, hit me with your meme accounts.
The meme accounts that I
Which
follow.
Which ones are you on? What are you on?
Well, Rat Dog memes, number one, numero uno. Yeah, I mean, it has been less active recently since we did the Australia's foremost meme talent quest, so you think you can dank. But... Look, it's still, you go back through. I mean, the memes hold up very, very well.
It's all about the group chat, isn't it? When the memes fly around the group chat, and there's nothing worse than when your group chat sends you a private meme account that you've got to sign.
Oh,
like you've got
really?
You know what I mean? Bron's nodding her head. She knows what I'm talking about.
Who are these private meme clubs who have the little rope across the thing? I mean, I got refused from enough nightclubs in my time with the wrong shoes on or wearing tracky pants or whatever. I don't want to be bloody knocked back from these meme clubs. I refuse to pay a cover charge for a club and I refuse to join a private meme group. Meme groups should be open to all.
It's so you have to follow. I've just realised now. So you have to follow, because if you didn't have to follow...
You could just be a casual...
Yeah, you could just lurk. You could lurk at the memes. Barry's Banter Bus is one.
I really don't follow that many. I do follow one, which I'm pretty sure is a dude from Melbourne who does it. It's called Billy Mumfrey's Downfall, which is a really obscure Seinfeld reference. So I follow at Billy Mumfrey's Downfall.
I love how specific they get. Bell follows one that's Grand Designs No Context.
Oh,
I
that's
think
great
it is.
On Twitter. Yeah, that's yeah. real good.
And it's just pictures of Kevin MacLeod saying things completely out of context.
I mean, I every now and because I watch enough Grand Designs, I want to submit out of context memes for that account. You know, it's a thankless job, but someone's going to do it, really, don't they?
So I am 30 AF is one that has got quite a big following.
I'm 30 AF.
Yeah, 1.4 million followers. And I first came across I Am 30 AF when they posted one of my tweets, right? Because I've got a couple of tweets.
I Am 30 AF.
AF, yeah. I got a couple of tweets out there in the universe that do the rounds, constantly do the rounds.
Remember when that radio station stole your Sushi Train one and passed it off as their own?
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. And then I saw them at the gig up in Sunshine Coast. Oh. They were laughing about it. I'm like, what? It's not funny.
That's my... Well, intellectual is the wrong word, but it's your property.
So anyways, I Am 30 AF. We've got a little bit of a, you know, a relationship going now because they posted my memes before.
Yeah.
You know, I slide into the DM. They've listened to this this podcast
a bit. Shout out.
As well.
Where are they from?
So
what?
Big shout out. I believe they're from the UK because I was talking about how differences in COVID and stuff. Anyways, and they were just talking about, we're just living with it. No, I think US. Anyways, look, the point is.
It's got a U in it.
I am Uruguay. 30 AF, posted about sort of weird little funny little things about the English language.
Okay.
How difficult things are when you wouldn't, if you didn't know English as a first language, how confusing some of the stuff would be.
I remember in school one time, the teacher asked, how do you spell fish in English? And we're like, I don't know, F-I-S-H? Like, no. G-H-O-T-I, gotti. Because
what?
Because the G-H from enough
fish. Oh, yeah.
The I from women, the O, and the T-I from, congratulations, the sh from motion, gotti, fish. There's English. There's English for you, baby.
Well, this is what sort of that that was basically what the post was, right? And in the caption they wrote, blows my mind that buffalo, 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 buffalo is a grammatically correct sentence.
Wait,
right? And I was like,
wait, how many buffaloes?
8 in a row.
So you say 8 buffaloes in a row and that's
and that
a
is
grammatically
a full sentence.
Correct full sentence.
Yeah, and I was like, that's not right. And then I Googled it, buffalo, 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 buffalo. And fair enough, that is a sentence that actually makes sense and is grammatically correct if, two of the, three of the buffaloes, the first, the third, and the seventh have to have capital Bs, okay?
Okay, for the-
And then you're good.
The city in America?
Exactly. So this is what it is, all right? Buffalo is a place.
Yep.
All right. Buffalo is an animal.
Yes.
And buffalo is a verb, which is a very uncommonly used way to use the word, that means to bully, harass, or intimidate, or to baffle, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to break it down. This is what it means. Let's imagine that one of the buffalo, let's imagine the place is instead Brisbane.
Okay.
Okay. The buffalo will remain the animals.
Yep.
And the buffalo to
annoy
baffle or to confuse. Yeah,
will be called Matt from now on.
I'm going to say confuse, okay?
Okay.
As a verb. And so this is what it is. So it's like saying, Brisbane buffalo. No, I've already gotten it wrong. Hold up. Okay, wait.
Oh, it is quite buffalo. You're right.
Brisbane buffalo. Brisbane buffalo confuse. Confuse Brisbane buffalo.
Oh, so that it's makes saying, it worse.
So you're saying that the Brisbane buffalo, that Brisbane buffalo confuse, right?
Brisbane buffalo. What, why can't you put that in there? Brisbane buffalo. Buffalo, 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 that buffalo, buffalo, buffalo.
Because you don't need to. It doesn't have to be in there to be grammatically correct.
All right.
So what it's saying is Brisbane buffalo, Brisbane buffalo, buffalo. No, Brisbane buffalo, Brisbane buffalo, confuse, confuse, Brisbane buffalo. There you go.
But here's that, you've just changed two of the words and it still doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? That doesn't make sense.
I don't think it's a very common sentence in general life. Like, I dare say no one's probably said it with meaning before. It's just a point.
Give me the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog any day. That's my favourite English sentence.
I do like that too. But look, anyway, we got a mind blowing coming up one of these days pretty soon. So maybe give us your favourite English facts or language facts, any language facts at all. Doesn't matter if it's English. Maybe you speak a different language and there's like a weird quirk in that language that does not make sense anywhere else. Please get in touch at matt.and.alex.
All day breakfast.
Drippy.
Thank you for listening to Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast today. We always appreciate it. Don't forget to get in your linguistic trickery to us at matt.n.alex. I'd love to hear it. And we'll be seeing you again tomorrow for another ep.
Should be good. Catch you then. Bye-bye.
That's it. The All Day Breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.n.alex. Listener.